Thank you very much. So I'm talking about art direction and editorial design today, and I'd like to start with a little story. In June 2008, myself and three other guys from Erskine decided to take part in this great Nottinghamshire bike ride, which happens every summer, and it's basically this large family-oriented event designed to get people out on their bikes in the sunshine and stuff. And fundraising for charity is also encouraged, so it's kind of like a fun run type of event, but with bikes. And Collie, Glenn, Phil, and myself, we decided to go for the 50-mile route, confident that, and I'm quoting Glenn here, that we could all piss that distance. So we raised about £1,000 for charity and, feeling good about ourselves, set off on the day full of confidence. And I should maybe say here that we were all completely unfit. I mean, I was a cyclist, but I hadn't been on my bike for a few years. And two of us were smokers, and all four had kind of enjoyed a summer of heavy drinking. So we were all not in great shape. Three of us were on mountain bikes, and it was a road route. So it wasn't going to be pretty, to be honest. So we absolutely blazed the first 25 miles. I mean, it took about 90 minutes, which is quite a decent time, even for a set of amateurs. And the beautiful Notts countryside was kind of flying by us, and we arrived at Newark, which is the halfway point, in high spirits and had lunch and stuff. And we hadn't realized this, but a 30 mile an hour wind had picked up as we'd been cycling, but because we'd been cycling with it as opposed to against it, we didn't realize, and we were oblivious to the fact. And we continued to believe that we'd arrived halfway so easily and so quickly as a result of our superior cycling abilities. So you can start to see where this is going. After lunch, we started to cycle back round towards Nottingham, and we were heading into the most brutal headwind ever, and it was brutal. Collison even compared it to Hurricane Katrina, which is a little bit dramatic, but it did feel like nature didn't want us to get back to Nottingham. It was trying everything in their power to kind of achieve that. And it took us 4 hours to cycle the remaining 25 miles, which is pretty abysmal. And we arrived tired, sunburnt, with aching asses, each of us never wanting to ride a bicycle again. And I think this photo of Collison crossing the finish line says everything. I mean, look at that facial expression. So after we'd recovered from our sunburn and fatigue, we all wanted to share the experience on our blogs and things like that. And Collie being Collie wrote this kind of articulate, dramatic article. And I can do that because I'm not a good enough writer. So I started to think about how else I could share the experience that we had. And because at the time it was such a horrific, uncomfortable experience, I decided to create this kind of mock B-movie horror poster, which was published in kind of like in HTML. I published this on my blog at the time, which was in all other ways a regular blog. And this was my first kind of foray into art direction on the web. And I've been in love with the concept ever since. For me, it's like the will to create or inspire a feeling through the visual medium. I think the best way to define art direction and editorial design on the web is to refer to Dan Moore's article on A List Apart, which was in November. And if you haven't read that, I'd definitely recommend it. And for me, this quote sums up everything he has to say pretty nicely. He says, art direction is about evoking the right emotion. It's about creating that connection to what you're seeing and what you're experiencing. And this really set straight in my head what I've been trying to achieve on my personal site for a number of years, wanting to share opinions and feelings, and I just hadn't really understood the true distinction between art direction and design. So if we quickly look back to that first post that I did, I mean, I'm not too enamored with the visual design anymore, because as designers grow and develop, they generally dislike their work from a few years ago. But I still think the art direction's spot on. I mean, it's implying like fear, pain, and like impending suffering, but with like a B-movie feel that makes it not too serious. So I went on to publish more of these kind of art-directed articles on my blog, eventually refactoring my website, so that's the only way I publish content now. And notable examples of this approach include my main inspiration, which is Jason Santamaria there on the left, and also people like Trent Walton, both of whom feature really nice kind of minimalist frameworks for their websites, and it's their content that receives all the desire and attention. And this talk is about that approach, art directing and designing content individually, as opposed to art directing sites as a whole, because I think we should be art directing and designing sites as a whole anyway, because that's just the way we should be doing things properly. But this movement whereby individual pieces of content get art directed and designed, it's a fairly new idea, and no one I've really spoken to is 100% confident that it actually works. And there's a strong counter argument as well, which revolves around content on the web not being limited to one viewing device or one method of consuming, and also that people may just want to consume content in the fastest, quickest, easiest way possible, not caring about the immersive experiences that can be offered when individually art directing content. So I decided to try this little experiment. It was going to be a personal experiment, so it's for me. So I'm not suggesting that the results should be considered gospel or anything like that. I just wanted to know whether what I'd been doing on my personal website meant anything. And it's probably a test that would make any statisticians in the audience squirm a little bit in disgust, but hopefully it would provide some results. And I started off with these two statements. I think the journal posts that I've art directed successfully have had significant impact, and I think some of the content that I've published has been more eagerly and widely consumed because of the art direction and design of the content. But the important words for me there are, I think. I mean, I don't know for sure. I mean, I know that fellow designers enjoy consuming that content a little bit more, but they're biased. I mean, of course a designer's gonna consume something if it's nicely designed more eagerly. And the internet's full of people who aren't designers, all visually oriented whatsoever. It's full of folks who just want to consume content for entertainment, news, information, or educational reasons. And it's these people I don't know about. I mean, I just wanted to know to what extent these people are affected by art direction on the web. I should probably mention that I'm going to publish a journal post on my website as soon as I can that will kind of detail all the specifics and aspects of this experiment, because it was quite a long-winded process and it took a lot of work, and because this is quite a short presentation, I can't really go into every speck of detail. So if I seem to gloss over anything, please bear that in mind. So I devised two independent tests, obviously using two tests to make sure the results were kind of valid, and if the results of both tests prove inconclusive, then I'd have to do a third one. But each test would feature one piece of content, which would be presented in two different ways. One piece would be in a way that's kind of common across many websites, akin to kind of how CMSs spit out content, and the other piece would be more art-directed and editorially designed. Each piece would then be presented to two different groups of 50 people, and each group would be asked to consume the content in the way they usually consume content on the web, and then would then be asked a set of questions about the content they receive. Half of those questions would be about the experience they receive whilst consuming the content, and the other half would be about the actual content itself to see how effective the presentation of it was. It was actually quite a challenge to find 200 people who didn't work on the internet or in design, so because my life these days seems kind of so consumed with these two disciplines, but I managed it with the help of these guys. Obviously, as a designer, I predicted that those who are given the regularly formatted content would retain none of the useful information whatsoever, and they'd answer all the follow-up questions wrong, and they'd probably be put off the subject matter, maybe the internet. And those who received the kind of more art-directed ones, they would naturally consume all the content, they'd absolutely love it, they'd retain every speck of information, and they'd be so inspired by the experience that they'd probably go to university and like study for 10 years in their field before kind of winning awards and stuff, just because this one piece of content. I mean, I jest, but I hoped that what I'd created would make a difference, but in all honesty, I didn't really have a clue. So the first test featured a piece about Tyrannosaurus Rex, purely because dinosaurs are cool and the T-Rex is the best dinosaur. And the content was adapted from Wikipedia, so it's quite an educational piece. And this is how the content looked that went to the first group of people. So it's how much of the content across the internet gets, as I said, outputted from content management systems. It's readable, easily consumable. I mean, the type is basic, and with obvious headings breaking up the content nicely. And on a typical website that hosted this sort of content, I mean, this would probably be surrounded by kind of header and footer areas, maybe a sidebar which featured adverts, featurettes, and things like that. But I left those out on all examples, just to purely feature on the content. And the content that went to the second group was to be art directed and subsequently designed in a more editorial fashion, so which first involved defining the tone of voice and message that I actually wanted to put across. So this first test was about the T-Rex, so it's kind of educational, and I wanted it to feel as such educational, but as a result, I also needed it to make it as interesting and also as easy to consume as possible. So if you quickly take those requirements that I set out and look at how they were implemented during the design. Well, you can immediately see that this kind of large, detailed imagery makes the piece interesting, hopefully drawing the reader in. And the use of typography for the header is doing the same thing. The body copy is set in Heffler text, which is an old-style face, which is kind of exudes legibility and trust. Windows users would get Times, which, whilst it's not old-style, it still exudes the same qualities. I hope that the use of diagrams and images would help to present information in a way that would make the content easier to consume, but also enhance the interest the reader may have in the topic. I mean, in that block about the dimensions of the T-Rex, there's about four different numerical facts in there, so I thought for height, weight, length, and that sort of thing. So a simple diagram, I thought, was the best way to visualize that. And then further use of diagrams and maps and things. I mean, there's three locations in this block, so I thought that visualizing it with a map would make some of that information a bit easier to retain. And you can also see the composition in use here. It's kind of very linear down the page, but also very balanced, with each content block kind of clearly defined using color and line. So I was thinking that users would be more likely to read what they consider to be these small snippets as opposed to one large block of text. And the natural rhythm helps to guide readers through the piece. And the use of color was influenced by children's encyclopedias, which use mostly primary colors, which can make even the driest and mundane subjects feel, in some cases, interesting. So there's just a recap of our requirements and how they reflected using design tools. Going on to test two, it featured a recipe for a Jamie Oliver recipe or something that I pinched from one of his magazines. So it's quite instructional, but it's also presented in quite a nice, friendly tone of voice. And the first half of test two was presented in a very similar way to that of the first one. It's easy to read, it's easy to consume, but ultimately it's a little bit boring. And sadly, most of the food websites that I've come across seem to present their content almost exactly like this. The art directed and designed version look like this. The color looks okay. The ultimate motivation being to inspire people. I mean, recipes need to inspire readers to either want to recreate them or want to eat them. And with that in mind, the following requirements came out of the art direction for this piece. I think that in order to inspire, you need to A, make the food look delicious, and B, make the recipe seemingly easy to make. So a simple, well-taken photograph of the finished dish is usually good enough to inspire the feeling of wanting to make or eat it. And making the recipe seem easy to recreate was a little bit more delicate. I mean, the typography and color choices have been made to make the piece feel a little more homely and, as a result, familiar. So, and the composition, whilst it's not linear, it's simple and it's condensed, trying to make people feel like there's not much to making the recipe. An interesting thing is this composition was actually far more visual. I mean, the recipe list, just at the top there, had like little images for all the different ingredients, which eventually evolved into little kind of icons detailing quantity and weight and stuff like that. And this step-by-step list was punctuated with kind of process-based, process-based images, and it looked fantastic, but it just those details just made it feel too epic, which was contrary to the requirements of I outlined when I was art directing it. Again, just recapping the requirements for the tone and the feel and what design tools we used in order to accomplish those, or hopefully accomplish those. So these pieces of content were sent out to 50 participants each, which they were then asked to consume in the way that they'd ordinarily consume content. They then answered some questions on the experience, which is these five questions here. And these five questions were common across both tests. So they also went on to answer some test-specific questions, but these five ones are common. And these are all multiple-choice answers. So did you fully read everything? Yes or no. Did you find the content easy to consume? Yes, it was easy. Didn't notice. No, it's difficult, and so on. So the test-specific questions for the first test were as follows. Again, multiple-choice answers. And these were for the informational piece about the T-Rex, so they're testing how well the participants retained any information. So they're right or wrong answers, basically. Again, multiple-choice. And for the second test, which was the recipe, the aim was to inspire and to make the dish seem easy to make. So the questions tested the participants on that. And yeah, these are those questions. I should reiterate that all of this information will be available when I publish that blog post. So if you're interested, you'll be able to go through it then. Right, onto the results. I was foremost pleased to see that both the results of both tests kind of pointed in the same direction, which meant I wouldn't have to create another test. And I grouped the results into three groups. So firstly, the questions based on the participants' experience of consuming the content, which I've lumped together because the questions are the same. And then each test's specific questions. And because there's a shitload of results, I've gone pretty top level with all of them for the purposes of this presentation. So I've just included the most salient percentages, but you can see all the graphs and charts and everything like that in detail when I publish this journal post. So these first lot of results are about the experience people received using the results taken from both tests. And we can see here that when the participants were asked if they fully read everything, 58% of those who received the regular content said yes, whereas 74% who received the art-directed version said yes. 39% of those who received the regular content found the content easy to consume, whereas 75% of those who received the art-directed versions found it easy to consume. When rating the experience the participants had consuming the content, 23% found it engaging of those who received the regularly formatted content, whereas 63% who received the art-directed version found it engaging. And as I said, these are just multiple choice questions, so I'm just taking the most salient results from each question just for the purposes of simplicity. The test-specific questions for the first test, which is based on the T-Rex, they were based on knowledge. So they basically were going to get it either right or wrong. And I've averaged all the correct answers together to get this. And there's not that much of a difference here. Like, participants with the regular content answered 61% of the questions correctly, whereas those who received the art-directed and design version of the content answered 66% correctly. And these are the results for the questions that were test-specific for the second test. So it was based on the recipe, so the questions were based on difficulty of the recipe and also inspiration, wanting people to make it or eat it. So regarding confidence recreating the dish, 13% said they were very confident from the people who received the regular content, whereas those who received the art-directed content, 42% of those said they were very confident. 21% of the of the people who received the regular content, they said it was easy, whereas 33% of those who received the art directed version said it was easy. For the inspiration questions, 8% of those who received the regular content found that they were very inspired to try and make the dish, whereas 52% of those who received the art-directed version said they were very inspired. And regarding people that were inspired to eat it, 4% of those who received the regular version said they were very inspired, whereas 67% of those who received the art-directed and design version said they were very inspired. So just to summarise those results quickly, because there was quite a lot there. I've grouped this into kind of three statements. Most of those who received an art-directed and designed version of the content across both tests enjoyed a richer experience and consumed generally more of the content. The differences between the two visual styles was pretty much insignificant when it came to seeing what information people retained from the first test. And thirdly, most people who received an art-directed and designed version of the recipe thought it was slightly easier to consume, but they were significantly more inspired to either give it a go or to want to eat it. So what does all this mean? I mean, I'm certainly not professing that due to my admittedly amateur little experiment, we should all be art-directing and designing every piece of content that we publish. I mean, this has been, after all, a hugely subjective and personal venture. But what I do think is that this test has, in my mind, validated some of the work that I've been doing on my personal site for a few years. And it helps to support my opinion that I think the internet is moving away from just being a cheap way to publish content. In-house web teams are becoming more popular and larger. Agencies are getting more and more retainer work with existing clients. So I don't think this method of individually art directing and designing pieces of content is that alien anymore. I mean, it doesn't have to happen universally. I mean, maybe you can persuade your clients to be publishing an art directed article every month or maybe every year or something for an end of year review or something like that. As long as it's done with an appropriateness and a level of sensitivity and with content that would actually benefit from it, I think we can really start to make the internet a more engaging and interesting place. Thanks for listening.